Please be seated.
Sorry. It's a little bit odd today. I'm everywhere. Pastor Jim is not feeling well. He was slotted in to preach, but on his way back, caught something on the airplane and just hasn't been able to kick it. So if you would remember to pray for him, that would be great. Appreciate that very much. This morning, we are in Acts chapter 3. Last week, I preached from Acts chapter 4. We jumped ahead a little bit. And I had alluded to a man who was healed. That was the inciting incident for Peter to be arrested. And so during the course of that sermon, I alluded to a gentleman who was lame from birth, over 40 years, who then was healed as a gift from Peter. And we find this in the story in Acts chapter 3. So if you want to turn there, that's where we're jumping in. And this morning, because it is a healing service, we do want to spend some time to discuss the theology of healing, to discuss the needs and the hows and whys. And it always begs to ask the questions that are very, very difficult. So I'll try my best to explain those to you. It seems like I was just preaching on healing not too long ago, but that was Saturday night service, wasn't it? I don't remember. Sorry. Acts chapter 3, that's where we're jumping in today. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Just in case you're wondering, the Greek word for beautiful is kalos. Kalos, where we get the other word, unfortunately. But that's an aside. This morning we're talking about healing. Looking at the logo of our Christian and Missionary Alliance Church, if you have a bulletin in front of you, it's right there, or it should be right there. Top, it looks like there's a cross, and then there's a cup. It's not actually a cup. What is it? A laver. Laver? 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 It's a wash basin, right? It's got a pitcher, and then it's got the cross. And all of these four symbols are the things that we believe Jesus Christ came to earth to do. He came, first and foremost, to be our Savior, right? To save us from the sins and the penalty of sins that humankind so deserved. The crown refers to Jesus Christ as our King and the coming King, the returning King. His return is imminent and will happen. The pitcher is what we're concerned with today, and that refers to Jesus Christ being the healer. The pitcher being referred to the pitcher of oil that Christians and Jews have used to anoint during special ceremonies and rituals. And then the laver or the wash basin is meant to symbolize Jesus, the sanctifier, the one who makes us holy, right? A sermon for another time. We don't become holy through our efforts. We become holy when we obey Jesus and allow him to change us and make us holy. But today we're talking about why we as a church, our denomination, emphasizes healing so much. For this answer, we have to look into the history of the Christian and Missionary Alliance and our founder. His name was Albert Benjamin Simpson, born in PEI. If you ever go to Anne of Green Gables' supposed house, go a quarter mile down the road. Albert Benjamin Simpson was actually born on a farm a quarter mile down the road from the supposed Anne of Green Gables site. And there is actually a memorial there. It's really only for us pastor nerds. But if you're ever there, it's really cool. Anyways, Albert Benjamin Simpson was a sickly individual who many times in his life had to take time off from ministry because he needed to rest and recover. The stresses of ministry would often get him down and sick. And so he actually took time to rest and retreat. And during one such retreat in New Haven, he experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit came upon him and rejuvenated his body, restoring it to a state that he himself had never experienced before. Where before he could barely get through a Sunday morning, after this healing, he arrived back at his church and was able to preach to a congregation of 200 people. That's roughly this size, without the aid of a microphone. Amazing. Not only that, he continues to go on to teach this as one of the miraculous works of Jesus Christ that is still available for us here and now today. Now, many Christians are confused over the issues of prayer and healing, and many churches have different teachings on this. Some even refuse to offer the services of healing. But in our Alliance Church today, we continue to practice this. Not in the same way that faith healers that we see on TV do it, like Benny Hinn or Peter Popov, late night TV, you know, in their very fancy suits. As you can tell, I don't like the fancy. But we can see that the world has very polarizing views because of such individuals today. And I feel that we don't, as a Christian nation, don't believe in divine healing as strongly as we should. What are the causes of sickness? Well, the causes of sickness were introduced when sin was also introduced to mankind, all the way at the beginning of time. The violation against the commandment God had introduced us to the availability of death, made us susceptible to death and all that comes with it, and all of its causes. And as I look through the book of the Bible, I see many different cases where sin is the root cause of death. And sin often is also the root cause of sickness. It's very, very, very curious that the Levitical laws that God gives to his people, a lot of them, if you actually read through them, were for purposes of hygiene, of how to properly care for yourself during different instances, making sure not to touch unclean and dead bodies so that you don't get infected and that kind of thing. God sees that the human body is something that needs to be tended to, and God gave us his laws in such a way to help us remedy that. So sickness, sin is the primary cause of sickness. But also, more deeper than that, it is the violation of God's moral laws that causes it, right? We often consider when we're taking the Ten Commandments, the communion. Sorry, it's been quite a day. When we're taking the communion, that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 to 32, at the Lord's table, the Apostle Paul writes to us and says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Paul even thinks that when we don't obey God, and when we don't acknowledge the Lord and Savior as being our Lord of Providence, we will be susceptible to being ill. Sin can also be brought on by Satan as permitted by God. We see this in the story of the book of Job. Job is a faithful and righteous man, and Satan comes to him one day and says, I bet you I can get him to turn from you. I bet you I can get him to curse you. And God says, no, he's faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. And Satan says, I'll prove it. And God says, try. And affliction after affliction, Satan throws at Job, and still he stays faithful. Sometimes God allows sicknesses to happen in our lives in order to draw us closer to him. Job, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that? Because I find that the stronger we are and the more that we achieve, the less we need God. I think many times God continues to show us who he is and what we truly need to live and to survive. Sometimes God makes us sick or gives us infirmities for his glory. Like the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 71, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. People like Joni Erickson Tada, one of my favorite heroes of the faith, testifies from her wheelchair, paralyzed, that God had used her infirmity to minister his love to many. She says in her book, A Step Further, that's the title of the book, A Step Further. She says this, Satan schemed that a 17-year-old girl named Joni would break her neck, hoping to ruin her life. God sent the broken neck in answer to her prayer for a closer walk with him and uses her wheelchair as a platform to display his sustaining grace. All sickness cannot be blamed simply on personal sin or lack of faith. Sometimes, as Jesus made clear, it's for the glory of God. As in the case in John chapter 9, when the disciples came and asked him, why is this man born blind? Who sinned? Was it his father or his mother? And he said, neither. He was born this way so that the glory of God may be shown. What about the healings then? Well, some would say that healing with medicine, they would suggest that the doctors and nurses that we have today, when we go to them, shows a lack of faith. And this claim disagrees with both the testimony of the Bible and personal experience. Medicine is indeed a gift from God. I really believe so. I believe that God gives doctors and nurses wisdom. And people are given incredible gifts of healing. Is it any less miraculous that you can pop a pill and suddenly be healed from something? That you could seek medical treatment and have something remedied? No, I don't believe it's a lack of miracle. I believe that it's a miracle in itself that we know how to do this. When King Hezekiah was ill, Isaiah offered a medical prescription and said, apply it to the boil. He had some herbs and that kind of stuff, and it will recover. And out of consideration for Timothy's stomach always having issues, Paul prescribes medicinal use of wine. Now, we can't justify that today. We drink some pretty clean water, but apparently in Paris. There's also other times that we can be healed through healing and rest and change. Even Jesus Christ himself, our Lord, was subject to the weakening of the body, and after a long day of preaching and ministering and healing, Jesus would take time to rest and recover. When the woman touched his cloak, who was hemorrhaging for years, he stated that he felt the power leave his body. Even Jesus Christ, when he emptied himself and became a man, was subject to the limitations of humanity. He got tired, he got weak, and required time to recover. When Christians come and ask for the miraculous healing, the divine intervention, we always have doubts. Sometimes we think that the healings of Jesus Christ and the miraculous healings that the apostles performed have ceased, that they were once and only for a time back when Christianity was spreading. But I do not believe this because I have experienced healing, both personally and in my family. Many people have been prayed for, though, have attended healing services, and they felt a sudden rush of hope, and yet, when they return home, are unhealed. How do we answer this question? Why doesn't God miraculously intervene and heal everybody? Well, for this, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul himself was afflicted with a thorn in his flesh. And instead of being healed, he was left as is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Meaning indicating that he probably had a vision from God, a spiritual encounter. Moving on, verse 4. And he was caught up in a paradise and he heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weakness. Verse 6. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain. So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. I really believe that at this juncture, Paul is talking to a congregation and trying to tell them that I don't have anything miraculous to show you. I don't have these visions. I didn't have this vision. That's not what I'm here to show you as this other man did. And he says this. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Sometimes the answer to why God doesn't heal is because he wants us to rely on his grace, to call his grace sufficient, knowing that healing is possible, but not necessarily promised to all of us in this life. We have to understand that grace is sufficient because in the end, we all do get that healing. But only at the resurrection. Some of us will have to wait until that day. Some of us will not. Why? Why him and not her? Why them and not me? That's something that I think we have to come to the Lord with. It tells us here that even Paul himself was not healed. Paul, one of the greatest men in history, who did miracles himself, who healed people himself. He was not healed. The New Testament is full of instances when Jesus and his followers healed men, women, and children. But throughout, we also see that some were not. Hebrews chapter 10 promises us we will be tormented. Psalms, all over the Psalms, tells us that we will be afflicted. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5 tell us this. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that was brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Notice here, the prophet makes it very clear that the primary reason Jesus Christ came as the Messiah was to heal us and free us from our transgressions first. And because of that, he conquers sin and death. And in his resurrection, we also have the ability to, or the accessibility to the healings. By his wounds, we are healed. Sometimes it's very difficult to understand this particular teaching. I agree. But it's something that I think we as Christians need to continue to practice. Because it is one way that Jesus Christ reveals himself to us and the church today. Whether it is physical healing or something spiritual or emotional, Christ wants you to live in the fullness of the promise that he has made to you. He wants you to realize that the end goal isn't to be healed here and now. It is to be faithful to him in the end so that you can be recreated, renewed, restored. But sometimes, just sometimes, he wants to heal us here. As I said earlier in the service today, if you have business to do with God, I suggest that you do it. How do we go about asking for healing? James chapter 5 leaves us a pretty good treatise. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. The elders are to be called, not because they're magical, not because they're special, simply because the elders of the church are faithful. And this is why I believe that the Holy Spirit still works and heals today. It doesn't say call the apostles, call the big name preacher from down the street. It says call the elders of the church. If James had believed, if Paul had believed that it would only be for the time that they arrived, they would not have left us these instructions to pray for each other, to approach the throne asking for healing. I really believe that it still happens today. God has not imposed any limits on himself. He can heal now, just as he did when Jesus Christ walked on this earth. James recommends that regular church officers, regular men and women, be the ones who carry out this practice. This implies that the ministry to the sick is not limited to the past, but that the gifts of healing, as mentioned in Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30, still happen. The Lord will heal. It is God's power that heals. The prayer, the anointing, and the calling out of Jesus' names are not a magical ritual. It is an invitation by an individual to open themselves to God's power and presence in your life. We should continue to pray for the sick with confidence that God will answer that prayer and bring healing. Such faith cannot be manufactured. We cannot force it. No matter how gifted or insistent or righteous we are, it is still ultimately God's choice, and I do believe he wants to heal. Our responsibility and our response is to pray and to leave the results to God. trusting that his grace will be sufficient for you, whether he offers the grace of healing or the grace of patience and endurance. I believe God will give it to you. At this time, I'm going to invite our prayer teams to come forward. If you have anything that you need prayed for, whether it's an emotional need, whether it's a physical need, I'll invite you to come up. This morning, we will have several teams, one couple in particular. And if you would like to be prayed for in Cantonese or Mandarin, come over to Pastor Ray and Andia. Otherwise, make your way down to one of our other teams here. We'll invite you to partake in this incredibly humbling experience, to experience the Lord together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today, and we ask that you would be in this place. Holy Spirit, come into this room today now and minister to those who are in need. Weaknesses of body, weaknesses of spirit, weaknesses of heart. Lord Jesus, we lift it all to you. Give us the courage to come forward, to be anointed by oil, to be prayed for by your servants, that we can receive of your miracle today. I'll invite the worship team up. And as those who need healing come forward, the rest of us will take some time. And let's reflect on who Jesus Christ is. invite you to be bold. Come on down. Trust that Jesus can do something miraculous for you today. Trust that he wants to change your life. He wants to change your heart. But he wants to change your mind.
Oh, I once was lost. we trust that you will minister your grace to them. We expect the miraculous. We wait for the stories. For your glory, we wait for the stories. As we go from this place, may the love and the grace, the mercy and compassion, may the forgiveness and salvation, the comfort and guidance of God the Father, creator of all, his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his presence, the Holy Spirit, may he carry us now to the end of days. Amen. Please be seated. Thanks so much for joining us this morning at Westwood Alliance Church. If you still have something that you want to be prayed over or someone that you want to speak to, our serving teams are still around milling about. Feel free to approach us or anyone that you've seen serving on stage today. I do have a couple of quick announcements for you. I trust that you can read the bulletins on your own. But this morning in the Mandarin service, had to get that right in my head, Albert Wong was elected as elder to serve the Mandarin congregation as a representative there. So that's wonderful news that he is the go-between between the congregation and the pastoral staff. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us to have more people serving in this capacity. please do join us in the hall next door down, yes, Connection Hall, that's what it's called, for coffee. We'd love to have you there. Next weekend, November 4th, we are having a joint service with Acts 242 at our regular time. So I'll invite you, if you are able to walk and you're healthy, no hip or knee issues, or no children under five, I'll ask that you park a little bit farther down the street or in the park across the way here to make room for the additional 40 or 50 cars that we're expecting at that time. It'll be an incredible opportunity to worship and to fellowship with another church. So please just keep that in mind. Aside from that, have a great Sunday. I'll see you next week.